Let me begin by asking these questions. Why don't people believe in the gospel? Why doesn't everyone who, say, comes to carols by candlelight or a Christianity Explored course go away believing and trusting in Christ? Jesus' meeting with Nicodemus gives us the answer. Verse 3. I tell you the truth, said Jesus. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Jesus says we need to be born again to see, really see, the things of God. And that means being born of water and of spirit, the Holy Spirit. People by nature are spiritually blind. They can't see until the Holy Spirit works in their lives and opens their spiritual eyes. And that's a fundamental reason why people don't believe in Jesus and why they don't respond to the facts and the evidence. And that's why we must always pray for the Holy Spirit to be working in us when we're working and witnessing for Christ. For example, when a Christianity Explored course is running, or what about the work that we're doing in Woodlands Park community events? Sadly, people don't keep the Ten Commandments or adhere to Christ's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. This failure to live up to an ethical or moral code highlights one of the main differences between Christianity and other religions and philosophies. They say, do this, do that, or don't do this, don't do that. They point to a huge mountain of good works to climb. But Christianity recognizes that you and I, at the end of the day, if left to ourselves, are weak, impotent, vicious, worthless, and rebellious, and unable to climb that mountain. But God, in his love, has provided us not only with a saviour to deal with the guilt of the past in ignoring his instructions, but the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with the present and the future. William Temple, a former Archbishop of Canterbury, once wrote these words. It's no good giving me a play to write like Hamlet or King Lear and telling me to write a play like that. Shakespeare could do it. I can't. And it's no good showing me a life like the life of Jesus and telling me to live a life like that. Jesus could do it. I can't. But, he says, if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, then I could write plays like that. And if the spirit of Jesus could come and live in me, I could live a life like that. And that is what Jesus is trying to teach Nicodemus. He was, we are told, Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Today, we would say he is perhaps equivalent to a professor of theology. Nicodemus begins his conversation to Jesus with polite and affirming remarks, verse 2. Rabbi, he says, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not in him. But Jesus knows that Nicodemus, like many church leaders and theologians today, hasn't a clue. So he cuts to the chase and says in reply, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus still hasn't a clue. And he says to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus responds, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. What Jesus is saying is that natural birth and spiritual birth are two very different things. What is the kingdom of God that Nicodemus cannot enter? Answer: it's any life where God is king and Jesus is Saviour and Lord, because this is a relationship which brings about salvation. Jesus forgives sin. We are adopted into God's family, and we have the hope of heaven with death defeated. But what is being born again? It's a phrase that's now much in use, often disparagingly. But what did Jesus mean by this two-word parable? Look again at verse 5. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Here, Jesus seems to be referring to some words which God spoke to Ezekiel. He said, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will cleanse you from all your impurities. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is the great twofold work of God, to cleanse us from the guilt of sin and to empower us into holy living. This he does through Christ's work for us when he died on the cross. He carried our sin, and the Holy Spirit's work in us is when he gives us that faith and makes Jesus real to us and strengthens us for godliness and service. Unless this happens, says Jesus, we are spiritually nowhere, because no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Jesus isn't talking about turning over a new leaf by way of New Year's resolutions. Rather, a radical new act of creation, a passing from death to life, spiritual death to spiritual life. And we can no more give ourselves spiritual life than we can give ourselves natural life. The Holy Spirit alone can give us the new spiritual life. But there is never perfection this side of heaven. John Newton once wrote these words, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I would like to be. I am what I hope to be. But I am not what I was. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. What then is the message for us in these words today? Spiritual birth and physical birth, we know, do not take place at the same time. When Adam sinned, it had a profound effect on all mankind. We need, therefore, to be born again, because we are all spiritually dead, unresponsive to the things of God until we receive a spiritual rebirth. So spiritual rebirth is not an option, it's a divine necessity. We don't have a choice if we want to go to heaven. It's a great miracle. It's as great a miracle as raising the dead. God the Spirit giving life to the dead. There is no other way into entering the kingdom of God. The very moment we put our faith in Jesus as our personal Saviour, a spiritual rebirth takes place, causing us to turn from walking in sin and unbelief, confirming to Jesus our need for him in our lives, our need for him to save us. It is in that moment that we are born again. For as Jesus said to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. New birth is the foundation of our eternal security. It is at this point that we become a member of God's family, and he will always be our Heavenly Father. He will never disown us, for faith is the only channel through which God can work in our lives, and our eternal security depends on the work of God, not of man. The Apostle James reminds us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Being born from above is a radical transformation that brings newness to how we live. And that newness of life is what we celebrate today around the communion table, and what we will share with others when we leave here today, as we go in love and peace to serve the world, to serve the Lord. No longer can we just be observers. We are to be participants, to participate in the life of the church, to participate in the resurrection of Jesus, who died for us, to give our lives to God, who fills us with his Spirit so that we might have an intimate relationship with him and then serve him better in the world. Amen.